Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, if you would open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 11. We're going to go through verse 35, God willing. Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 35. This is God's word. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right, because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves, because they had not been baptized by John. "To what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children, sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not cry.' For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came, eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by all her children. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. You'll remember, I hope, that in the first part of this chapter, Jesus has miraculously healed the servant of the centurion. And that was something that the word obviously spread from that. And so as now he's going, traveling from place to place, he has a contingent going with him. In addition to his disciples, there's a large crowd that goes along with him. And as he approached the town gate, there's a funeral. People are coming out of town carrying a dead body. They're on their way for a burial. And Jesus interrupts the procession. He interrupts the funeral. And he does something that, first impression, would be scandalous. He walks up to where they're carrying this body, and he touches the device they're using to carry it. He touches the coffin. That was not something that someone else could do. If your loved one died, you were the next of kin, you could touch that body. It was permitted. But if you were not part of the family, you stay back from dead bodies because they make you ceremonially unclean. They defile you. This was not just tradition. This was Old Testament law. And so for Jesus to touch that coffin legally would defile him. It would make him unclean because of the presence of death. Except that when Jesus did that, all of a sudden there wasn't a dead body because Jesus brought life to the dead. He raised this young man from the dead through the power of his word. Just as he spoke creation into being, he is the word of God. And he speaks and he says, young man, I say to you, get up. And the dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Now notice, if you would, Jesus' compassion. It says that when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. He was moved with compassion. That's the nature of our Messiah. That is the nature of our Lord. You may go through very difficult things and not feel as if God is paying any attention. You may not feel as if God sees what you're experiencing. But here we have a reminder that the Lord does see and the Lord does care. And he does something to immediately change the circumstances. Okay? Now, that's what I want from an omnipotent God who sees my pain and understands and cares. If you see what's going on and you understand what's going on and you care about me, then let's fix this problem, shall we? Sometimes God does that. This is an example of where Jesus immediately intervened in a way that everybody could see. And he didn't just do it to manifest the fact that he's the Messiah, although he does, in doing this, manifest that. But he did it out of compassion for this mother. When someone close to us dies, It's a very painful thing. But this woman not only had lost a beloved son, she was a widow. She didn't have a husband to provide for her. The responsibility of providing for a widow in her old age was the government's responsibility. No, not at all. It was the responsibility of her son. And so she's not only lost her beloved son, but she has lost her financial income and future security. She is truly in a position of devastation. She wasn't the only person to go through that. There had been people experiencing that generation after generation. And there's an example in the Old Testament where Elijah raised a woman's child from the dead and presented her son. The same words used here that were used there. But suffice it to say, God doesn't always work that way. He doesn't always work that way, and in fact, that provides a little bit of background for the passage that follows immediately. John's disciples told him about all these things Jesus was doing, and so he called two of them to him, and he said, "Go ask him, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Excuse me? John had been telling his disciples and the crowds, "I'm not the Messiah. The one who's coming after me is." And then when Jesus comes on the scene, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He announced Jesus' messiahship. He knew Jesus was the Messiah. So what's this deal with his asking Jesus, "Are you the one, or should we be looking for someone else?" Well, Jesus wasn't performing the way that he expected him to. Jesus is the Messiah. But with that, John expected he's going to overthrow Rome. Okay? We're being oppressed. We're being heavily taxed. Jesus, of course, was going to end all that. Well, not exactly. What? I thought you were going to overthrow Rome. I thought you were going to put a stop to all this. I mean, they're pagans. These people are awful. They don't even believe in the God who is God. They believe in a bunch of gods that are demons. If you're the Messiah, can we please get on with the program here? Can you please bring in the kingdom now? Now. Now. Do you ever feel like that? You want God to solve the problem now. I'm hurting. Fix it. God doesn't always do things the way we want.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Not only was Jesus not doing exactly what John expected, overthrowing Rome, but John was no longer out preaching in the wilderness. John was now sitting in prison because of his preaching against what the local king was doing. The Roman government had installed a puppet, and Herod was an immoral man, and John called him on it and wouldn't quit calling him on it, and he got locked up in jail because of it. And his life was on the line. And eventually he would end up being executed, beheaded, because he took a stand against evil on the part of a ruler. Well, if you're sitting in jail, you don't want to stay there. The jailers work hard at making sure you're not comfortable. The whole idea is, psychologically, let's make these folks not want to come back. That's the aim. John was not having fun in prison. He didn't have, you know, an hour a week to meet with a counselor. And he didn't have people saying, you know, can I get you anything else? This was a miserable situation, and as I said, he was going to lose his life there. So he really feels a sense of urgency that Jesus needs to get on with the program, meet his expectations, do what he wants. Here's the problem with that. Jesus is king, not us. We want to decide the agenda. We want to say, this is the way it goes. And our leaders are supposed to carry out our wishes. The consent of the governed. That's the way it works in a democratic republic. It is not the way it works in a kingdom. And Jesus is king. So, when they asked him the question that John had sent them with, he responded by healing a bunch of people. At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. Okay? You guys have now seen the evidence yourselves. And he quotes from Isaiah, chapter 35 and chapter 61. Have you ever been told that you were going to meet somebody somewhere, but you didn't know what they look like? And so it's like, well, golly, how am I going to recognize them? And so they'll tell you, well, I'll be wearing a red jacket, or I'll be carrying thus and such, okay? And so you know things to look for. How would you recognize the Messiah? Suppose you were going to meet somebody at a restaurant and they said, well, when I come in, I'll walk across the ceiling. That would make it pretty easy to spot them, wouldn't it? I mean, nobody else is walking across the ceiling. Nobody else is raising the dead right now. Nobody else is giving sight to the blind. Nobody else is cleansing the lepers, enabling deaf people to hear. Jesus did what God had promised. Those passages from Isaiah said this is what it's going to be like when Messiah comes. Messiah came. Some people got it. Some people understood. Jesus spoke to the crowd after John's disciples left. And he said, what do you think about John? What did you go out there into the wilderness to see? Because John had huge crowds. What were you looking for? And he jokingly gave them some examples. A reed, this unstable thing blown by the wind, that was the opposite of John. Maybe a guy in fancy clothes, that was the opposite of John. He says, was it a prophet you were looking for? Yes, and more than a prophet. He is the one, not just a prophet. He's the prophet that we read about in Malachi chapter 3, where God promised that he would send the prophet to prepare the way for the Messiah. In doing this, he's not only telling them something about John, but he's telling them something about himself. If in Malachi, the person that John is going to be preparing the way for the Messiah, who's talking? The Messiah. Some people got it. A lot of people didn't. And in this passage, Jesus makes it clear that those who don't get it, it's because they refuse to believe. They refuse to believe. All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right because they'd been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and experts in the law, with few exceptions, they rejected God's purpose for them. God says, this is what you do. Repent and receive life. They said, no. He says, no matter what God does, they refuse to believe. Now, here's the main point. You must decide whether or not you trust Jesus. You must decide whether or not you trust Jesus. John was sitting in a jail, and things were not going the way he thought they should. They weren't working out as he had envisioned. He had sacrificed in order to live the life of obedience that he lived out in the wilderness, wearing a camel's hair clothing, and not like a nice one from a fancy store, just camel hair clothing. And he was eating locusts tempered with honey, okay? The people of his day thought he was weird. Some, Jesus says, accused him of having a demon. But he didn't have a demon. The Spirit of God was upon him. And he was proclaiming the message that God had given him to proclaim. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And now, it's not working out the way he planned. What are you going to believe, John? Are you going to go on the basis of what you're feeling? Or are you going to go on the basis of what you know? You know what God told you. You heard the voice from heaven. You saw the Spirit descend on him like a dove. You know better. And I would say to you today, you know better. But you have to decide. Will you trust Jesus? Will you trust him? He is trustworthy. He does not lie. He is filled with compassion. If you feel like, well, he just doesn't know how this feels, he has endured pain far worse than anything you or I will ever experience. And he did it voluntarily so that you could be set free from your guilt and from the punishment that you and I both deserve. Will you trust him? Will you trust Jesus?
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.